Testing.
Good morning, I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, who calls us to live lives of generosity, and so may our worship this day honor God's love of diversity expressed by the uniqueness of each one of us and the power that God has put into our hands to be agents of God's love in the world. I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live stream or broadcast worship. No matter how we entered this worship today, we can all rest in the blessing of knowing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we have a few announcements we want to share with you this morning. As always, we're thanking our worship leaders, our liturgists, our greeters, our singers this day. I also want to thank Randy Brewer and Hank Zaretter for their technical expertise that's making this broadcast worship possible, and also to Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our worship this day. So we can warmly welcome John Wegraff today as our guest preacher. John has been a member of First Church for many years, since 1984, and he's been our outreach minister as well. And over that long career, he has taught at several universities and served as chaplain at area hospitals and also provided consultation on child protective cases. So we welcome John, in particular because John has been helping guide us as we think about the spiritual dimensions of our capital campaign. And so, welcome, John.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
I would remind us all that we have a covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of the bulletin. And this is the way that we remember the agreements we have about how we're going to care for one another during this time. Also, during our time of worship, we will of course have a time of prayer offered. We'll be lifting up prayer celebrations and concerns. And so if you are in person today and you have prayer celebrations or concerns that you'd like to have raised during our morning worship, we invite you to use the index card that you'll find there in the pew and to write down what your prayer is. And then you can just hold it up during the time of the offering or just before the prayer, and we should be able to collect those and to incorporate those into our worship this day. And also for those of you who are at home, if you have a prayer that you would like lifted up this day, if you can do that by the time of the reflection, then you can go ahead and email those to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. We also have an announcement from John Wegraff about from the spiritual support team of our capital campaign.
Good morning. Just a quick announcement. I want to bring to your attention the insert in the bulletin regarding feedback for the spiritual support team related to the capital campaign. Encourage you to make some notes, and there's also an opportunity to do a Google poll. There's a link in the Tuesday link that goes out. I want to make a point, though. Don't feel constrained by the questions. I mean, it's an open narrative. Just thoughts that you have that might, have come to you in the course of this capital campaign. This is an opportunity for you to share your story, so please do so. Thank you.
Great, and I would now invite forward Gail Martin, one of the co-chairs of our capital campaign steering team, to let us know about some things related to the capital campaign.
Yeah, we wanted to give you a quick update on how this campaign is going along, and it is clocking along fabulously. As you know, for those of you that were on the Zoom call on October 3rd, we announced that in the quiet phase of the campaign, we raised just over $700,000 towards the $750,000 goal. Incredible. But also on October 3rd, it was announced that we have a fabulous matching opportunity, and an anonymous, generous donor has come forward to put up $100,000 that we can all match. So it's a dollar-for-dollar match. And right now, as you can see, we have received, this is just since October 3rd, with six more weeks to go, we have received $14,300 in pledges, but that has been matched with $14,300. So we are now at 28.6 towards that matching goal, which is really fabulous. So be expecting a call. You've probably already received a call or an email from a volunteer from the church who will reach out to you and either set up a meeting in person or a call to discuss your opportunity to participate in the capital campaign. And we thank you. We have 6 weeks to go, and we'll update you every Sunday as to how much we have received in pledges. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Also coming up on October 31st is our celebration of ONA Sunday. This is one of the times when we remember that particular commitment that we have through our open and affirming stance as a congregation. We celebrate that. This time around, we're going to have a guest speaker. Her name is Candace Lowe, and she has been a disability ministries advocate for many, many years. And Candace will be offering us a particular word about the belovedness of each person and how we as the church can live that belovedness and the welcome and inclusion that we say that we have. So we're very much looking forward to Candace that day. Also, just a little reminder, Bill Ladd is going to be ordained on the afternoon of October the 31st at 2 o'clock. So I hope that you will make it a point to be there for that wonderful celebration. And now we come to a time of lighting a candle. This is one of the ways that we remember that by the power of the Spirit, we are indeed the one body of Christ. And so as I light this candle representing the Christ in our midst, I invite those of you who are at home to light a candle at home, knowing that you are present with us in worship and we are present to you as well by the power of the Spirit. May we all remember that our church's walls go are not something that holds in that spirit. Our church's walls are here to help protect us and keep us safe and have sanctuary as we gather in person, but our church's walls are permeable. We move out into the world to be light and salt and to do those things that Jesus called us to do. So let us worship now as we gather together and by the power of the Spirit, our one body in Christ.
And please join me in the call to celebration. Gracious God, you are an act of infinite generosity. Let us be renewed by your generosity. Gracious God, you restore our souls each day. Restore us that we might join you in restoring a broken world. Compassionate God, no one and nothing is lost to you. Let us join you in reclaiming all those who have been forgotten, neglected, and rejected. Loving God, you are an act of communion. Let us speak and act from that spirit of communion as we engage one another and our neighbors. Lord God, you have kept your promise to be the spirit of justice and compassion in all times. Let us find strength and courage in your commitment to justice and love. And we can say the opening prayer together. Eternal God, we seek you in all that is. Help us this hour to look and to listen for your voice in this place among these people. May our praise and prayer and song resonate with your timeless rhythms, your ageless melodies, your everlasting joyful noise. Bring life into our singing, our praying, our speaking, our listening, our being with one another, that all these activities might become more than they are. In our worship, we reach out to you, O God, knowing that you have already enfolded us in your arms. Amen.
Remaining physically distant, we yet invite you to be close to one another in spirit. And so now I invite us each to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and to sharing our peace with others. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which signifies that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. Peace. 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 Peace.
I would like to invite the children to come. I have something to show you. I'm not sure you're going to want to see it, though, to be perfectly honest. But, well, maybe you will. So come on. Come on. Good morning. You might want to stay back just a little bit, because I got something to show you this morning, and I'm not sure you want to get too close. I think you'll understand in just a second here. But what I wanted to say was, I want to start by... It's not. It's not. Actually, the first thing I wanted to show you was this. This. You know what happened this morning? I was going out the door for church, and I was still wearing this, and I started going out of the house with this on. What is this? Do you know? Can you tell? It's a slipper. Whoops. Yeah. You know, when we weren't meeting in person for church, I was at home doing church by Zoom on the computer. And sometimes I wore these because no one could see them, right? But today, you know, I wore something a little fancier. Do you think these shoes go better with my robe? Yeah. So what would happen if I had worn these today? You think people might have thought it was a little funny? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't notice. It's just like,
you wouldn't have noticed? Yeah, because maybe the robe is kind of long. You wouldn't have seen it. I could have just, I could be barefoot. Who knows, right? Well, I've been thinking about shoes a lot, and this is why I wanted you to step back a little bit, because I brought a bunch of shoes today.
Yep. Okay.
These all came out of my closet, and you probably don't want to get too close, because you know what can happen with shoes. They can get sometimes a little smelly.
No.
So you probably don't want to get too close. But I wanted to say that I've got a closet that has lots of shoes in it. Yeah, lots of shoes in it. And, I had a couple of questions for you. If I was going to, if I was going to wear this shoe, when would I want to wear this shoe? Do you know? Yeah, like what do you think? At a beach or something like that. In fact, I do wear these to the beach. There's probably a little beach sand in there. What are you thinking? Yeah, walk on a beach, or maybe a hike on a warm day. Or let's say, what about this one? These shoes are waterproof. What would these be good for, maybe? Yeah, like if it's rainy or
winter.
Winter's coming pretty soon. You know, I'm going to need these. Oh, yeah? And so what about these ones? Yeah, these are my cross-country ski boots, right? So we've got all these shoes, right? And there is a reason for every single one of these pairs of shoes to be in my closet. Yeah, for different occasions, different things. These shoes help me do different things, right? So here's what I've been thinking. Believe it or not, I've been thinking that shoes are like people. Yeah, he's not sure about that.
No, yeah. Not really, because the shoes and me can always be the same. People cannot.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I was thinking exactly that. You know, just like people, shoes are different, actually, right? There are different purposes for them.
But also, the same purpose and the same brand.
Right. You are exactly right. My wife has a very similar one to these. Right. Hers are actually the same color. They're just smaller, right? Because my foot's bigger. But, so you are right. They're not exactly like people. That isn't what I meant. I should have said that from the beginning. But I've been thinking that, you know, just like shoes, people have different things about them that are very special and important. Each one of you has things that you like to do or that you can do or that you're trying to do, or things about you that are things like, well, maybe you're quiet, or maybe you're loud, or maybe you're really caring, or maybe you're really artistic or something like that. Each of you has different gifts. We call them gifts because we believe that God made us each, and so God wanted us to have all those different things about us. So here's what I am thinking. Just like I couldn't go skiing without a ski boot.
Actually, you could.
Yeah, I probably could. You are right. Yeah, yeah.
You want to really, like,
yeah. You are right. You are right. Yeah.
I'm very exact, so I know.
You are very. You know,
I would say it's 5 and it's like 4:30.
It's good to be precise sometimes. So, do you think I would have more fun if I used these for skiing rather than these?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I meant. So here's what I'm thinking. Just like I couldn't go skiing very well or have as much fun with these, you all are also very, very important to making the world the kind of place that God wants the world to be. God gave you those wonderful gifts, and all these people too, because God wants us to use them in the world, especially to care for people and to care for the world. So, you'll probably forget about the shoes, but I hope you will remember this. Each one of you is very special, and there's a reason for it. God made you that way. And each one of you is needed to make the world the good kind of place God wants it to be.
Okay, you
know,
TNT show us?
No, I don't.
Well, yeah.
Guess what? It's time for you to go to godly play. And so I want to try something with you. I'm going to say, may God be with you there. May God be with you there. And see if you can say this after I say that. See if you can say, may God be with you here. So if I say, may God be with you there, you say, may God be with you here. Let's try it, okay? May God be with you there. That's pretty good. We'll try it another time. Go in peace, and thank you.
Well, Jonathan just did the hard part. Anyhow, good morning. As we come to our time of offering, I actually came across a poem this week that I'd like to share with you to kind of set our minds and our hearts in that place. The poem is by poet Lucy Shaw. The title of the poem is simply, How? With a question mark. Here's the poem. And she, just another word in kind of preparation, she wrote this poem in the midst of the pandemic, and that was what was on her mind and in her heart. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? The old rhythms, the melodies of praise strangle in our throats, and the words fall to the ground like leaves in autumn. The air thickens with suspicion and doubt, and who's to say anymore what is true enough to last, to prevail. But she goes on. Let us trust now the ground under our feet, that which has proven steady for generations. Look up. The heavens are still there, unclouded, beatific. We breathe even though the masks cloth our faces. Prayer surrounds us close as our skin, weaving for us garments of trust and solace. Even in our isolation, we are joined in love, never alone. God is an infinite act of generosity. God is an infinite act of love. Let that spirit fill us now as we come before him with our offerings. Lord God, you are an act of infinite generosity, an infinite act of love. And we see your generosity everywhere. We see your generosity in the warmth of the sun, in the rain that nourishes the earth. We see your generosity in the bright colors of fall. We see your generosity in the love that people show for one another. And we give thanks that you have granted us hearts capable of generosity. And it is out of that gratitude and that generosity that we offer these gifts to you for your work of justice, love, and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew 19. I think you'll find this familiar, actually. I did. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible."
When I was 10, my father decided to give me an allowance of 50 cents a week. 50 cents a week in 1962 was a tidy sum. 50 cents a week was 10 Hershey chocolate bars. It was 6 Hershey chocolate bars and 10 Fireballs. It was 6 Hershey chocolate bars and a couple of packs of Jujubes. Almost more than a 10-year-old boy could ask for. And then he told me that he expected me to give 10 cents from my allowance to the church each week. So now I was down to 8 Hershey chocolate bars. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to afford the Fireballs. And I registered my displeasure with him in some way. And my father just said to me, "Well, I don't expect you to like it. I don't expect you to understand it. But I expect you to do it." And so I did. Because I knew the alternative was it was that or nothing. Or he was going to give me 40 cents and expect me to give 10 cents of that to the church. The title of the sermon today is Born to Live Generously. It isn't born generous. Generous is something that is learned and is cultivated. And I'll get to that point. You know, there's a question out there, and certainly, you know, I spend a good deal of my time being a psychologist, and so I read psychology and know something about it, and I know that the jury is out on generosity as far as human beings go. Certainly beginning with Sigmund Freud, didn't get off to a good start. And he kind of took his cues from people like John Locke and Thomas Hobbes and decided that human beings really at their core are selfish and self-interested and self-seeking, and even apparent acts of generosity are really just self-interested. We act generous to get something in return. But there's been some more research of late by psychologists that suggests that, well, maybe there is some innate capacity or some innate willingness to be generous, to care for others. One of the experiments that they conducted or that I read about was they got some children in a room with an adult, and they piled up a stack of books, and the adult inadvertently knocked off the top book from the stack, and most of the children quickly ran over, picked up the book, and put it back on the stack, suggesting that they were responsive to the adult and wanting to reach out and help them in some way. They conducted the same experiment where the adult purposefully took the book off the stack, set it aside, and none of the children picked it up. So there was something about the need of the adult or the distress of the adult that engendered something in the children to respond to them. So the jury is out. And psychologists don't always make this point, but I think one of the points you can come to from this is that, you know, children aren't innately generous in the full and complete sense of that that term, but if you cultivate them and tell them the right stories, nourish that possibility within them, they'll gradually acquire it, and it grows. Part of the difficulty these days is that there are social narratives out there that aren't training our children very well and aren't training us very well. Had the occasion recently to pick up a couple of books, I suppose because watching the news and hearing about the greed and selfishness and the fear and bitterness and resentment that courses through our society isn't enough. So I picked up a couple of books. One's by Matthew Stewart. The title of the book is The 9.9%, The New Aristocracy That Is Entrenching Inequality and Warping Our Culture. The other book that I read recently is by Michael Sandel, Harvard philosopher. Title of the book is The Tyranny of Merit. And both of these authors, harken back to kind of the deep social narrative that tends to be characteristic of modern societies, and it was a social narrative spun by and told by people like Thomas Hobbes and John Locke that human beings by nature are self-interested and greedy and out for themselves and looking to get ahead in the race for wealth and honors at all costs, even at the cost of others. And the point that both Matthew Stewart and Michael Sandel make in their books is that this is not a healthy social narrative. It's a warping of our culture. It's an occlusion of another possibility of what human beings are and what human beings can be. The problem, they say, is that the narratives, the stories that we hear too often, are warping our minds and our hearts. We get to the point where we start to believe that all that matters is winning and getting ahead. Matthew Stewart said the problem isn't the top 1/10%. No, those are the multi-billionaires, and they just are who they are. So then the problem isn't in the lower 90%. The problem is with this kind of in-between 9.9%. Says that what's characteristic of this group of folks is that anybody would look at them and think they were wealthy. The problem is that they don't feel wealthy. They feel empty. And they act out of that sense of inner impoverishment. And so they're drawn to stories that encourage winning at all costs. Which is part of my point, the point that I want to make this morning, is that it's important what stories we tell and what stories we listen to. And the gospel, if it's anything, is a counter-narrative to those kind of stories. And this morning's tale is a counter-narrative. Not born generous, but you can learn to live generously. And that's what's going on with Jesus and this rich young man. You need to begin with a story, a good story. And Jesus tells this young man how he can start his story, and that is by giving up everything that he has. And generosity doesn't come easy. And he's not inclined to follow. And the thing that always strikes me about this story is the disciples didn't say, oh, we're not like this wealthy young man. They said, who can be saved? The disciples knew and identified with this rich young ruler, it's not always easy to be generous. But good stories matter. And I've learned a lot about generosity over the years in different places. I'm going to share a couple of stories about that. But one group of people that I learned about generosity from, and I may have shared this story before, but I'll share it again because I think it's a good story, was from the patients at Westboro State Hospital. Now, I never took an offering at Westboro State Hospital, but I did leave a basket on the altar, okay? And invariably every Sunday, there were a couple dollars in that basket. I never asked them to put the money there, they just did it. And these people had nothing. They had nothing. And then somebody got wind or it got up to the administration that I couldn't take an offering anymore. And I told them, well, I'm not taking an offering. I just put a basket out there and said, well, you can't do that anymore. And so I said, okay, I won't. And so I informed the patients of this was going to be the new practice, that there wasn't going to be an opportunity for them to leave an offering. And the first Sunday I did that, as I was collecting the hymnals, I was finding dollars stuffed in the hymnals, or dollars under the seats where we worshiped. And so I went to the COO and I said, I can't stop them. And I asked one of the patients who I knew had left a dollar in one of his hymnals why he did that. And he said, no administrator is going to tell me I can't give money to the church. He says, this is what you do when you come here. Isn't this what this is about? It's a good story. And then there are all sorts of stories of generosity out there, counter-narratives that really matter. And I actually ran across one that made it onto the internet, and it's about Natick. On August 2016, Carrie and Lori Riding came home and found that their rainbow flag had been taken down, and stolen and their house had been egged. Word got out into their neighborhood. And how did the neighborhood respond? This is not who we are. Why don't we all get flags? And so they did. And within a short period of time, there were 40 flags out there. Love wins, they said. Not fear. Love wins. And there are all sorts, there are other stories that I could tell you. They're innumerable. Story about a woman who was 69, had a failing liver. She came up on the list, and then they found out that there was a 23-year-old woman who was in desperate need of a liver. And the 69-year-old woman said, give her the liver. Not because some hospital committee had decided it or forced it. Suppose by the time you're 69, you can find that in her yourself, and she did. And we don't know what it was, what it is that fed that in her, but I'm sure she had learned that over a long life. But generosity is not just a story, it's an act. We're not born generous, we learn to be generous. There's that story of the Cherokee brave who was telling his grandson about two wolves that were at war within him. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. One is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, and generosity. The grandson thought about it. Then asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? The grandfather's response was, the one you feed. It takes time to learn to be generous. But you find out about generosity in a person at the end. I haven't talked a whole lot about Susan. You know who I'm talking about. I could have talked about Mother Teresa or somebody like that, some kind of world historical figure, but sometimes it's better to use image of somebody that's a little bit closer to home. And I've said this before, is that, you know, when Susan was sick, she loved the church, and she loved her students. And she loved this church, and she loved her students to the end. And she lived for them to the end. And Susan knew about the other wolf. She knew she could have packed up and gone home, but she couldn't. Susan was about living for her students and living for people that she cared about. It was her practice. Now, all of how she came to be that way, too long a story to tell. It's a story 69 years in the making. I'm sure many of you had something to do with her telling that story with her life. I may have had something to do with it too, but mostly if she was reading between the lines. But there's another story that's more than just a story. It's a way of living. And it's the story of this church. You know, I thought about that. You know what happened to this church back in 1873 when the church burned to the ground? Shortly after they built it. And within 3 years, they built another church. Now, I'm sure they had faith in their future, but they had something more that was moving them, and that was a sense of generosity that perhaps grew out of a sense of gratitude for all those that had come before. Generosity, then, isn't just a thought. It's not just a sentiment. It's not just a story. It's a practice, and it takes practice. Those who came before us taught us with their practice. This is our opportunity to be those for who will follow us. This is our opportunity to practice generosity. And I think those people in the first instance, the 1873 people, knew that and acted out of a sense of gratitude. And gratitude begets generosity. So I leave you with this, and it's a quote from Frederick Douglass that I actually saw outside the gym where I go. Frederick Douglass said, "I prayed with my hands and nothing happened. Then I started praying with my feet." Generosity isn't just a sentiment or a word or a story. It's a practice. And as my Nigerian priest friends say, God is gracious and God is good. God is good all the time. God's practice is generosity and love, and we're called into that practice. So let's pray with our feet. Amen. And so now we come to gathering our community in prayer. Lane, you got some? I'd like to lift up in prayer this morning the people of Haiti and for the missionaries there to help in the earthquake aftermath who were kidnapped this weekend. Other folks or the people would like to lift up in prayer. I would like to lift up in prayer the victims of gun violence. When will someone do something about it? Not prayers. We need action. But for now, I'll pray for the folks who are still trying to find that generosity in their heart to do something. Let us come together in prayer. Generous God, loving God, constant, more constant than the northern star, Be to us a source of strength and a source of courage. Be to us a source of energy and life and joy. To walk with confidence into this world that we have broken. We call on your gracefulness and your mercy and your forgiveness that we might throw off the bonds of guilt and take up the banner of hope and promise. We remember all those who are sick and sorrowing. We remember those who are struggling with the burden of mental illness and with substance abuse. We remember all those who are sitting with uncertainty. We remember all those who are hungry and in need. We offer our gratefulness and our gratitude for the life that has been the life of this congregation, and let us continue to draw on that gratitude, that it might continue to give birth to acts of generosity. Let us persist with joy and a sense of promise that however the winds blow, we know which way we will walk, and we will walk with you. We offer this prayer, Lord, in all our prayers, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. renew you, restore you, lay claim upon you, engage you, that you might go forth with acts of generosity. Amen.